of all you helping us to do those things. Because without people partnering with us, there's not a lot we can do. But we're there because we want to see Niger, all of Niger, become a Christian nation. Right now, it's mostly Muslim, but we're working on that. A lot more people are coming to know Jesus, and we're discipling them. I just want to share a few miracles that have been happening. Then we're going to maybe say a few things about the primary school and the Bible school. Hure, who was on that slideshow, we know her personally, and she lives in the village of Nakoki. And the first time we saw her, she was crawling on all fours. I mean, we always saw her crawling on all fours. What had happened about 3 years ago, she fell off a cart and messed her back up, and she could not walk. And she couldn't even straighten up. Sometimes, if we did see her get off all fours, she was like this. But most of the time, she was just crawling. Well, she went to the camp meeting, and we had a Nigerian minister come, and he asked for people to come up if they needed prayer, and she was basically like this. He went up and just, you know, he just went, in the name of Jesus, she went, boom, and she's been walking ever since, just like instantaneous like that. And so we're just seeing the power of God, and it was great because we knew her personally. We'd just seen her in the village come to church crawling, you know, and to see that right in front of your eyes was just such a blessing. And there were many things that have been happening. There was a Muslim couple, their son was demonized. I mean, this boy was writhing and just doing what you've read in the Bible, in the New Testament, and the Gospels, and they took him to Saidu, the guy who had a good harvest last year. He's a pastor in Damakati, and he just prayed for him, and he got delivered just point blank like that. We had a woman with the issue of blood for several years. She got prayed for. The flow stopped. I mean, we're seeing lots of things happening. I mean, great things. I mean, we're seeing people who have been married for 10 years, this one couple in the Moriah Church, 10 years, no kids. Last year, Pastor Hashimu, our main pastor, whom we really love, prayed for him last year, and just a couple of months ago, they had their first child after 10 years. Also, Lantana is one of the members of the church in Moriah. Her son was very sick, so she took him to the main hospital, and the hospital pronounced him dead. I mean, they said, it's over. She said, no, it isn't. So she took the boy. I mean, the boy was cold. Took him to the Moriah Church. They prayed. He rose again. It's still happening today. Amen. You know, people are rising from the dead, people who are dead. I mean, I've seen a lot of small children die, and I know. And I prayed, and it hasn't happened where they raised for the dead, and I've seen them. The body is cold, and it's over. But we've seen also where they've come back, and they've come to life. We've got testimonies of this. So we're having all kinds of things happening. But let me just tell you a few things about the Bible school, and then Ginger will talk about the primary school, unless you want to go first. Okay. But also, so the Bible school, it starts in January and graduates in December. But there's a two or three month period, well, let's see, 2 month break in the middle for farming because most of the people are farmers. People get saved out in villages where we have village churches, and we want to disciple them because if they don't get discipled, Islam will just take them because there's a lot of, everybody's a Muslim out in the village, and if somebody gets saved and they don't get discipled and get the word of God in them, they will be deceived and persecute it, and they'll not be able to continue with the Lord. So we get them into the Marathi church area where we have the Bible school. There's expenses. We bring them in. We pay for the transportation. They come in every week. So for instance, a week in the Bible school, we'll transport them on Monday morning. There's no school on Monday because that's a transport day. Then Tuesday, they start school. And they'll start with a prayer time at 7:30, then at 8 o'clock, they will be starting the classes. And we have classes like Freedom in Christ, the Book of John, the Character of God, different foundational studies. And they'll get that from 8 to 9 o'clock, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, just back to back with a 10-minute break in between. And we're just pouring the Word of God in to them. In fact, you know, in the Book of John, which I'm teaching, which we just finished, they memorized 27 verses. There's a lot of great verses in the book of John. We're just trying to pour the word of God into them. And you can see the difference in their life when they first come in, it's like there's not a lot of life because they just got saved, but they learn how to praise and worship God, and they get the Word of God in, and it's a wonderful change. So we have this class Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Then in the afternoon, there's also a chapel at noon, which goes for about a half an hour, chapel time of encouragement. Then in the afternoon, we have a time of literacy, because actually, like two-thirds of the students don't even read and write. So it's a real challenge teaching people who can't read and write. So we're trying to get them to learn during the school year. Also, they have a time of review every afternoon. Then at night, we have church meetings. So they go like this every week, and then on Friday night, they get transportation back, and they stay in their villages over the weekend, and they kind of support their pastor and be involved in the church. So that's a typical week, and they do that for a year. And when they're done, there's a big change in their life, and they're ready. And I just want to tell you about one particular guy. His name is Yusufu, which is Joseph. He's a Fulani man. Most of the people we have are Hausas, but there are some Fulanis. And this one Fulani man got saved in a village, place called Diffa, which is way out in the eastern part of Niger, far away from even where we live, and we live way out there. And so he got saved, but the pastor there said, well, we can't keep him here because his father's going to do something, or his family, they'll really persecute him. So I want him to be discipled in Maradi. So we took him where we live, and he went to the school. But first, we gave him a job. He worked as a guard for us and helped clean up the primary school. We just wanted to keep him because he came about a month before the school started. But we got him in the school, and the guy is so hungry to eat the Word of God, to hear and just hungry for the Word of God. And he's now an evangelist. I mean, just not like we said, you're an evangelist. It's just God moved on him. One day, a couple of weeks ago, Jonathan, the new missionary, he was talking to a man in the post office who was lame. And Jonathan invited him to the church. And he got to the church, and Yusufu saw him and started preaching to him and led him to the Lord. So we're excited about how Yusufu is really just hungry for the Word, wanting to evangelize and touching people's life. He went back to Diffa for the couple of months. We have Bible school break, and he's going to come back and finish off. So we're praying for him that everything goes well while he's back in Diffa. That is, he doesn't have too much heavy persecution. So these are just some of the things we're doing, and I just wanted to show you the copy of the book of Acts. In Hausa, the book of Acts is called Ayukan Manzani. Can anybody say that? Ayukan Manzani, which means the Acts of the Apostles. So, so I just kind of wrote a pamphlet which has outlines in it for each chapter. It's also got a definition for most of the places and people in Acts, which is a lot in the book of Acts, and just an introduction, and it's just to help for the new believers, the ones who can read. But we're really working on the literacy part of it. Well, that's basically it in the nutshell with the Bible school, and I'll let Ginger tell you more about the primary school.
Okay, well, so many times the people can't separate Bible school from the primary school, but it's two totally different works. Where his is working with new converts that have come to the Lord, that have been out in the villages, they come into the city and get fed the Word of God, and they learn the Word of God, and they're there to obtain knowledge of God. Whereas ours is a regular elementary school that I oversee. The children are coming from Muslim families, mostly. It's about 85% of them are from Muslim families. And they're coming to earn an education. And the education program is in French, because that is the official language of the country. So where he's working in Hausa, I'm working in French mainly. Though the children are, you know, Hausa speakers. But they're there to learn French so they can continue on with their education and into different jobs and things as they grow up. So the parents actually have to pay to inscribe their child into our school. So the fees for the school is maybe $80 a year, $80 to $100 a year for them to come. And we have maternelle, which is like the kindergarten preschool, which is from 3-year-olds, and then we have up to sixth grade level. This year is our first sixth grade level, and after when you get to sixth grade, you have to take an exam before you can continue your education. You just cannot go on, even if you pass sixth grade. So it's a very important time for the children. We only have 8 children in the sixth grade, but we're just praying that these children will pass well and can continue their education. Their exam will actually start this week. They'll have it for 2 days. And hopefully I'll be hearing something in July to hear how they did. But they did have a pre-exam just to kind of get them to in the mode of how this test is going to be. And 5 of our 8 children passed without any problems, so I was really happy. One was very, very close. And in the group that they were in of 64 children, there were only 6 of them that actually passed. So all these other children that were in sixth grade from other schools did not pass. So that made me feel good that our education was going well, because I'm not really fluent in French, and I'm still learning. I read it, and so I still have a lot of things to learn about it. I basically administrate the school. So anyway, that was good news, and so I'm just praying that our children will do well, and that will cause many more to come into the school. Because right now we only have maybe 125 or 123 in the whole school, from 3-year-olds up until sixth grade. And I'm praying that we'll even double for this coming school year. So I was excited about that. The other thing about the school that we do, I see the school as a tool of evangelism, because we do have so many Muslim families, and that they come to the school and I have opportunity to speak to them. I have things on my desk, tracts and different things on my desk there for people to come and take when they come to visit. And so if a parent comes and they see it and they want it, I give them their tracts. Sometimes they all just come and want to talk. Maybe they know some English, so they'll come and talk to me and just speak some English. Sometimes we get just people off the street that come in, you know, they have a need or whatever. I had this one, I guess he was Arabic, I don't even know, or he was Tuareg, I don't know where he was from, but he had come in and he was just saying, "I want a book in Arabic." I said, "Well, what kind of book?" I was just trying to figure out, you know, if he could read or, you know, what was going on. And I said, "Well, give me your phone number and I will try to find you a book in Arabic, you know, the Bible or something, scripture." And it was kind of hard to find, and I just wasn't really sure. But, you know, sometimes you get just weird and things happening, you know, people coming and not really understanding what their needs are. But on the whole, we are a community church. And I mean, a community school, and there's where we used to be, where we were, let me take it back. When it was first established, there was nobody around. I mean, it has just progressed so much. That area has just grown up to where we're just surrounded by homes. So I'm hoping, too, that with just all the people that are coming in, that our school will be receptive, that they would come and have their children at our school. The other thing, I do have 11 workers. I have a guard who's kind of like the groundskeeper guard. I have 8 teachers and 2 aides that are there. So I have a staff of 11 right now. And they're all Christians. They've all either have grown up in the church, or they were Muslims before and had turned to Christ. So they're all believers. So the children, when they come, they are ministered, you know, by Christian teachers. The curriculum is the government curriculum, but we can teach whatever we want. That's what the inspector told me. Because I said, "Well, you know, in your book," because sometimes I just kind of play dumb with these guys and they, you know, they will say things back to me. But I said, "You know, in your book, you talk about, you know, Islam." And he says, "Well, you know, you can You can teach it. You can teach things about religion, but you just can't practice it. I said, okay. So that gave me an open road to say, okay, we can teach about Jesus. You know, we can teach about who he is. We can teach about all these things. And I would let the Holy Spirit practice, you know, get the practice into their hearts, you know. But we do. We pray and we do things, you know, they don't know. But anyway, but I've had opportunities to minister to people like this. They're interested. That's the thing. They'll come and sit and they'll ask me questions. They're interested in Christianity, but, you know, there's this fear of their peers, you know, trying, you know, finding out that they're interested in Christ. So I just feel that being there, we're just a light in a dark place, and that God will use this school to raise up and to even plant in the hearts of these children who Jesus is. And when that time of questioning, when they come to the point of who God is, because their God is not a God of relation. You know, we have a God that's relational. And when we pray to a God, we pray to a Father. And where their religion, they have no sense of who God is, really. God is there, and you do these works, and you do these things, and maybe you'll make it to heaven. They still don't even know whether they'll make it to heaven, even after doing all these things. So I do believe they see that the God that we serve is a God of relationship, and it's different than what they have. I even had one parent say something, well, we have the same God. I said, well, if we had the same God, why do we do so many things different? I mean, why are we so different, you know? I said, we don't have the same God. And so I gave him a Bible, and I said, here, you can read this and come back to me. So, you know, it's just a great opportunity to minister, not only to just the children, but to families. I want to see families saved, you know? I just don't want to, you know, do the children. I want to draw them all in to Christ. We had one small girl that was just inscribed last year, and she wasn't with us very long. She was only in the school maybe a couple weeks. She got very sick, and then in the next month or so, she ended up dying. But her father came to me looking for finances because he says, I spent everything on this child's for the medical, and I need more money to pay for her medical. So I gave him some money. And at the time, one of our pastors was sitting with me in the office. And I said, would you want our pastor to come and pray for your daughter? And so he went and prayed for her. And so I just believe God.
Before she died.
Yeah, before she died. And even though she did end up dying, but we're there to minister to these people. You know, they have needs. And so we want to minister even to whole families. Another thing we had was we have our end of year party that you saw in the pictures there in the newsletter. And one of the skits that we did was on marriage of children, because their children can get married very, very young. And this skit was on children who are in primary school level, the kids that I teach, you know, that level, I mean, that I oversee, that are given in marriage to older men for wives. And so this skit was against that type of thing and had very Muslim things in it that they do, you know, during these ceremonies and things. But it just made me, I mean, I'm hoping it made them think, you know, what type of, you know, their thinking is so much different, that you would sell even your child, basically, because that's what you're really doing. You sell your daughter to a man so you can get the dowry, you can get money for them. It's just the children are just so helpless. There are just so many. We have so many children in the streets there that are, we call them bowl boys, because they carry bowls for their food. And they sit under a teaching of a Muslim man, an imam, And they go out every day and they beg. And there's so many around us, and my heart goes out to these guys, you know, these young boys, thinking, what could we do? You know, I'm even thinking of using the school. Maybe we could start a program for them. I don't know what God wants to do, but there's just so many children. Like it said in the video, under 50% of the children are under the age of 15. So reaching out to these children, I'm educating them and helping them and planting the word of God into their hearts will make a difference in that country. And there's just so few of a Christian school. There's actually only three. And one's a Catholic, one's Assembly of God, and then there's ours. And even out of those, the Assembly of God has higher education that goes on past primary school. So it's a real tool, I think, to reach these children and implant the truth of the Lord into their hearts and just to show them the love of God and give them a relationship with a God that really cares for them and not someone you have to serve by works and all the other things. But I'm just really excited about this coming year. I really think God's going to do something special. It'll be the beginning of our seventh year, and I'm just anticipating wonderful things as we continue in reaching out to the Muslim families and the children. And so I hope to be able to tell you many more things in our newsletters in the future.
Amen. So I know time's pretty much up, but we wanted to try to pour in as much as we can in this time. And again, we really appreciate all of you for even personally helping us in so many ways. And for those of you who have been financially supporting, because it's making a difference, because we're seeing Niger changing. We've been there for a total of 14 years. The primary school has been there for 7 now. So we're there, and we're ready to continue on and to raise up. We're raising up leaders there. So thank you very much for all your help.
I want to encourage everybody. We normally have a fellowship luncheon afterwards, but I know Rich and Ginger will be here, and y'all can ask them some questions. It's amazing just to see how things have developed. Even from the first time I was there, Ginger was really just beginning to go to the school. The school has grown. They've done more of the building work. And at first, the government was really restrictive on how much they could actually reach out and minister. So I'm hearing some of these things probably a little bit differently than you all are, because they've just really been able to expand out in some areas. And I wish I could transport everybody over there so you could really fully see and understand what we're talking about here, because we're talking in an area that when y'all first went there, how many of the villages even had the churches out of the 20 that do now? It was virtually like 2 or 3. So we're talking in 14 years, there have been 17 or 18 villages where you have to understand, if you're in that village and you have a dream and you say, I want to become a Christian, there's nobody can tell you anything about Jesus. There's nobody in that village that believes. Probably about an 85 or 90% chance you can't read. There's no electricity. You can't turn on the TV and watch some TV show. You can't see an old showing of a Billy Graham and say, there's nobody. There's no way if you are trying to find Jesus. That's the status of what it is. And there are, about 2,000 villages, I think, around Maradi, isn't it? Something like 2,000. 20 down, 1,980 to go. Okay. But they've done it the right way. They've steadily planted. I'm watching one of the young pastors there. I was back with Rachel as the PowerPoint show was going, and one of the pastors in the villages, I said, I taught him in the Bible school twice. I taught him when he was a new convert. I went back a couple of years later, and he was in the pastor school, and he's now standing there married with a wife pastoring a church. That's what's gone on in this. So when we're talking about this, we're able to be part of that and watching the churches grow. Being part of that. The church in Tamaroro, our church actually helped build a number of years ago when Tony and I were there, and that church has produced a number of pastors. That's how they're getting these village churches, is somebody, the pastor, Rich, and them have to go on to a next village and try and go out, and you're going into an area where there are no believers, and a couple of people become believers, and you plant a church, and you grow, and you get the people back in the Bible school. Ginger's now reaching out to all the kids here via it, and you got to understand, this country is about 97 or 98% Muslim. This is not America. This is not Central America. This is not what most of us have contact with. It is overwhelmingly Muslim, overwhelmingly poor. But Rich and Ginger are doing an amazing work there. This is church planting in the heart of the 1040 window. And so what we're going to do in a minute, we're going to go ahead and take up a love offering for them. Everything that comes in today goes to them and their ministry, what is going on over there. As you've heard, there's a lot of things that are happening with the ministry. It's not only Rich and Ginger being there and being supported. They try to help the pastors. They're trying to help with the school. As he said, bringing the people in every week, you got to pay for transport. You got to try and feed them. These folks have nothing. I mean, seriously, if they don't get good rain this year, next year, they're going to be starving. It is hand to mouth year after year after year. And so what we're helping Rich and Ginger be able to do is to do this, to see these churches planted, to see the work going on. If you're making out a check, you can write it to Bay Ridge Christian Church. Everything will go over to them. If you say, I forgot my checkbook this morning, if you just write IOU on a piece of paper and drop it in, we will trust you to give it back. And everything that will come in will go to them. It's a great opportunity for us. The amazing thing God has done for us, and the ushers can come forward as I'm saying this. The amazing opportunity we get, I marvel that God did this. One of y'all needs to get the plates. God could have done this apart from you and me, but he gives us the opportunity to be part of this. We get to partner together, and even though we're not there with Rich and Ginger, we are there with them. We are part of what is going on. Our heart has been knit together with them, and it's a real opportunity for us to do this. So we're going to take up a love offering and do that, and then we're going to have them come forward. We're going to invite everybody to come up and pray, to gather around them, maybe a word of encouragement, a prophecy, or whatever else, but to be praying for what is going on there in Niger. This is a real live opportunity. This may be the next South Korea. I've mentioned before, South Korea had missions for 100 years and virtually no response to the gospel, and now they are the second largest mission-sending country in the world. And that all happened in like the last 50 or 60 years. I would love 30 or 40 years from now to be breathing my last breath and, you know, having Rich say, wow, we're actually sending missionaries out now. Our country has been transformed by the gospel. And for us to be able to say, wow, we were part of that. I remember when there was like no believers there. Who knows what God in his providence will do? So if we can have the ushers stand up, we're going to pray for this and take up the offering and then pray for them. Father, thank you for an opportunity for us to be involved. Lord, what a great day it is, Father. In the early church, if we sent off missionaries, we'd have likely never heard from them again or seen them again. Father, we get to be part of what is going on there in Niger. Lord, we pray you would take this offering, Father, that you would use it to extend your word there in the country of Niger. Father, may the precious Hausa and Fulani and Tuareg people, Lord, hear and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask in his name, amen. Opportunity we see in the scripture where the church would gather and pray for folks who were going out, and it really is a privilege for us. This is Book of Acts stuff, both because of what they said. I mean, how amazing it is if you've been there and seen the people who are bent over and polio and all the stuff, to see God stretching forth his hand in power and healing them, that can open the eyes of Muslims who are blinded. So just a great thing. So we're going to go ahead and pray for them and ask God to bless them, and then I'll close us in a few minutes. So anyone like to start?
Lord God, it is people like Rich and Ginger who go out and change the world for you, Lord God. And I just thank you for blessing them with a heart for you and allowing that heart to reach out to so many people. It is a great nation, a very large nation, one that is infected with Muslims, Lord God. And I thank you that you are sending them for the healing, Lord God, that you are sending them for the healing and allowing them to change people so that others can go out and heal other people, Lord God. You are doing miraculous works over there, and you are just using Rich and Ginger for amazing things, Lord God. I thank you for that. Please bless them and give them the things that they need to just magnify those changes, Lord God, in the years to come, so that those changes will come much sooner than we would even hope, Lord God. In Jesus' name.
Father, I'm grateful, Lord, for the Jorgensens, and I just pray, Father, that we will be reminded in the days to come to pray for them, for their protection, for their provision, Lord, and that your spirit would be upon them and all the pastors and their families that you're gathered together there. And I especially, my heart goes out to Ginger's thought there about the bowl boys, Lord, that there would be some way to reach out to them, Lord, to bring the truth of Lord Jesus Christ as their only way to be for salvation, Father. And I pray, Father, that also that the pastors, when they go home to farm their land, Lord, that there would be a rain upon the land, Lord, that you would provide, and that it would be for your honor and your glory.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for Rich and Ginger's faithfulness for all these years. Father, I pray just that faithfulness would also be transplanted to the pastors and the wives and the people in the Bible school that they're ministering to, that they're sharing. Because Father, I just know that that's something that they need when they go out to the villages themselves. And I thank you that Rich is the type of person who has that, and they can see that in him, and see it in Rich and Ginger for their steadfastness for all these years, that they can go and they say, this is what our lives are about, to share with our own people. So I pray, continue to do that, Father. Raise up steadfast men and women there in Maradi and in Niger. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we just thank you for the vision that you've given Rich and Ginger. Yes, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is not in vain, that they go out and plow and plant and see the word of God change hearts in that nation. Father, we claim that nation for the name of Jesus. We come against the Muslims in the name of Jesus that are against the principles of God and against Jesus. Father, we just ask that their hearts would be one into the kingdom of God, that there might be a great revival. Father, we just thank you for your provision for Rich and Ginger. Father, we thank you for looking out for them and carrying them through. Father, we pray for change hearts. That is the greatest joy of seeing a heart change and come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And Father, that they would have wisdom to be able to affect the different children that they're working with and the pastors. Father, we pray for doors to be open that no one can shut, because you have opened them up. And so we're praying for this nation, that its knee will bow, that Jesus, you might be Lord of this nation. And we just give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for that woman that was bowed down and you raised up. Thank you for raising that child from the dead. Father, we thank you for touching these areas, Lord God, and proving that you are God alone. There is no one like you, O Lord. And we just thank you in the blessed name of our Savior. Thank you, Lord.
Dear Lord, as we've learned in the previous weeks from Brett's sermons about the book of Jonah, how Jonah went reluctantly to Nineveh and probably preached one of the lamest sermons in the entire Bible, but yet there was just an overwhelming response to it. And I pray that as Rich and Ginger have been in Niger for so long, but seeking your will and wanting to bring about the expansion of your kingdom, I pray again for your work in the spiritual realm, that you will open up the hearts of the people of Niger to be responsive. And I pray especially for Ginger's work with these street kids, that somehow you will reach them, you will give her the wisdom to do the right things, and I pray that you will provide her, give her the provision with the right materials to give to these children, so they truly will be responsive, and we'll see the fruits of your labor, of their labor. In Christ's name.
Lord, we've asked for rain for the harvest for the people in Niger, but Lord, I'd ask you to rain on the Jorgensens, Lord, but that they would, through your great grace and mercy, they would produce a great harvest, that a great harvest would be seen and evident through their ministries. Lord, rain also brings new growth. Lord, I ask you to bring new growth into their ministry, new things. Maybe they don't know what they are yet, but Lord, I'd ask you to bring those new things in. And lastly, Lord, as I'm thinking, grace, the rain also brings refreshing. And Lord, while they're here in the, and away from their ministry, I guess you can't really ever get away from it, but while they're here, Lord, I ask you to refresh them. Refresh them and strengthen them. Give them new, give them invigoration, you know, so that they can go back just stronger than ever. Lord, we ask your blessings on these wonderful people. In Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus, you know the desires of our heart. And Lord, I ask you that someday that I know some Arabic words, and I know that dost is friend, and I know that love is PR, and I ask that you bless their ministry. And Lord, that I believe in what is written and also is what is unseen, and that is what faith is about. And I know of the miracles that they speak, because I have known a couple myself, and my Yeshua Messiah, and I know this is true, and I have a desire. I have a desire for them to do great many things, yes, and also for myself and for this church and people in here as well. I ask that you bless us all.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Father. Father, we do pray for the country of Niger. Lord, we realize that the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. And so, Father, as the church of God, Lord, we bind together, and Father, we stand together in your armor. And Father, we pray that you would break the back of the spirit of Islam that blinds these people, Lord. Father, they are born into a culture that is thoroughly steeped in Islam for 1,000 years, Lord. But Father, we know you have your word there, Lord. I even think of the Tuaregs who have the 25 different crosses and all, Lord. Father, deep back there, Father, there was the gospel. Father, we pray that your gospel would break forth in this country, that, Lord, Islam would be turned back. Father, I pray that from works like Ginger in the school, Lord God, that the Muslims would see. Father, I pray for the success of the students. Lord, I pray they would see that the Christian schools are doing better than the government schools are, Lord, that the things that the Christians are running are blessed, how the Christian teachers there, Lord God, would love the children, Lord, and that would make a difference, Father. Lord, when you're in a culture like that, it's a fine line that Ginger walks on a daily basis. Lord, I pray for wisdom from your Holy Spirit, oh God. Father, I pray you would give her the right words to speak. Lord, I pray she goes back to France and takes the intensive course to even learn the French language better. Lord, I pray you would bless her mind, Lord God. Help her to grasp the language, Lord. Let it become a heart language for her, Lord God. And Father, we pray for those young children, Lord God, that many of them would be future leaders in the church, Lord, that they would be hearing the gospel and that they would respond, Lord. Father, we pray for the work in the villages, Lord, that many would be turning to you. Father, I pray this very day, Lord God, as I know they've had meetings over there, Father, I pray that people would have responded to the gospel, Lord God, from Karusa to Gongora, Lord, to Iadawani, Lord, down to Sarkanyama, and every one of the little villages that are around there, Father. May your word go forth with power, God, that people would know. Father, I pray for the next villages out, Lord God, where nobody has responded yet, Lord, that you would let the word go into those places. Father, I pray for Rich in the Bible school, Lord God, that they would be able to disciple the believers. Father, I thank you for his work that he's produced a book in John and one on Acts. Lord, help him as he continues to do that, Lord. I know it's labor intensive and hard, Father. I pray that you would bless him and be with him. God, I pray for Hashimu and Iro, Lord, who are around Rich, Father, the other pastors that are doing it, Father, that they would lead. Father, I pray that you would raise up even more senior leadership among the pastors in Niger, Lord God. Father, that the Nigerian men would be leading their own church, Lord God, that the day would come, Father, that they could stand up and lead, Father, and they would be able to send out to other areas. Father, give them that vision. Give them that passion. Lord, I pray for Rich and Ginger that this time back in the States would be a time of refreshing, Lord, as they are ministering in the various churches, Lord, that they would be encouraged and strengthened, and that as they go back, Lord, you would watch over them, keep their marriage strong, Lord God. Father, I know they've constantly got people coming through their house and doing things. Father, I pray you would bless them, that you would keep them, that you would minister to them. Father, we commit them to you and the word of your grace. We commit the church there in Niger to you and the word of your grace. Father, may this just be the day of small beginnings, but Lord, may it grow and increase and be strengthened. God, do mighty things in the name of Jesus, the miraculous Lord, touching people's bodies and healing them. And Father, the even more miraculous of taking those who are trapped in darkness, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Father, continue to be pleased to draw them through the power of your gospel. Father, thank you for doing this. Father, we pray all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.